message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you're tuned in with us again today and you've joined us for the Bible study. And we trust that once again today that our Bible study will be a blessing to you, that you'll get your Bible and spend time with us looking into what the Bible says. We're going to look at a very controversial chapter today. If I was the host of a talk show or something like that on TV, you know, Phil or Geraldo or Oprah or somebody like that, you'd want something controversial. And they always do, don't they? They like things controversial because those are the kind of things that pique people's attention. Well, today the chapter we're going to deal with is the greatest bloody battleground in the Word of God, quite frankly. One of those great bloody battlefields in the study of Scripture, Acts chapter number 2, and the day of Pentecost. And I tell you, too long this passage has been a source of strife and division. As men, and I mean good men, many, many good men, have sought to prove and to demonstrate their own pet ideas and views and opinions by this passage. And I want you to understand that as we go into it, we're going to do with this passage what we do with all the rest of our studies. We want to look at what the Bible actually says so that we can avoid confusion and error that's caused by presuming what the Bible is supposed to teach. There's a great deal of difference between what the Bible is presumed to teach and what it actually says. Most of the time, there's a great deal of difference between those two things. And so what we want to do is look at what it actually says. Now look with me in Acts chapter number 1 as we begin. And we've been studying the book of Acts now. We've talked about it at some length. We've talked to you about how the book of Acts is a transition book, that it begins with Israel's program. It ends with Israel's program having been set aside and a new program underway through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. The change between Israel's program and the new program takes place with the raising up, the salvation and commissioning of the Apostle Paul in the middle part of the book of Acts. It doesn't take place at the beginning of Acts. It doesn't take place at the end of Acts. It takes place in the middle of Acts. And that's where the change takes place. When you start the book of Acts, and from the beginning of Acts all the way through the ministry of Paul, you find that Israel's kingdom program is what is going on. And the transition from that, the change from that, begins with Paul's ministry. Now that's going to help you to understand Acts 2. You'll understand what's going on there, why the things happen that happen there, and what the things are about when you understand where it fits in the program of God. There was no question in the minds of the 12 apostles when they stood with the Lord in His ministry right before His ascension. Jesus Christ ministered with Israel. He died on the cross of Calvary. He ascends up. He's resurrected. He spends 40 days with the apostles. All this is recorded, the 40 days and so forth, first couple of chapters of the book, first couple of verses of Acts. Then in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, He ascends up into heaven. Then in Acts chapter 2, there are 10 more days there. And then in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes here, and the Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles, the 12 apostles back here, the Christ had chosen and trained. The Holy Spirit comes on them over there. In Acts chapter number 1, right before His ascension, there is no question in the minds of the apostles about what the program of God they expected and they thought they were a part of was. You'll notice in Acts chapter 1, verse number 3. Let's start there. Why don't we just start in verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up. After that, He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom, to the apostles whom he had chosen, also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He had a 40-day Bible seminar with the apostles, speaking to them of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He opened the scriptures, Luke 24 says, and demonstrated in the scripture. Later on in Acts 1, Peter will stand there with the brethren and say, this scripture must needs be fulfilled. Why did he know that scripture needed to be fulfilled? Christ had taught it to him. He had explained the verses to him. He can read the Psalms back there in 41 and 69 and understand who Judas was and what needed to be done to put one in Judas's place and so forth. They get the instructions here. Now, verse number 4. Being assembled together with them, Christ commands them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time do what? Restore again the kingdom to Israel. He's taught them for 3.5 years about the kingdom. Now he spends an intensive 40 days here opening the scripture and teaching them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. As they walk out to the mountain for him to ascend up, they ask him, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They understood fully. They were looking for a literal, physical, visible, earthly kingdom to be established on the earth shortly. And they knew that. And they knew that that was what the program was. They're looking for him to come back and establish that kingdom over here. They're looking for him to save Israel from the wrath to come. And we're going to see when we get down through Acts 2 that that's what Peter does here. He tells Israel, you need to be saved from this wrath to come in order to get into the kingdom over here. And so forth. They know right where they're standing in the program of God. They understood where they were. They knew how to rightly divide the word. Verse number 6 is very clear about what they understood. Now the answer that they get is very important, because Christ doesn't say, what you've done is you've misunderstood the program and this isn't really the way things are going to work. That isn't what he says to them. Notice what he says. Verse 7. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these words, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. You see, what he doesn't tell them, look, guys, you've misunderstood the nature of the kingdom and the ministry. I've been here with you for 40 days. I've been with you 3.5 years, and you're a bunch of boneheads that don't listen and understand. He doesn't say that to them. What does he do? He says, look, it's not for you to know the time. Don't worry about the timing of this thing. You just go be faithful and be witnesses of mine. Be busy while I'm gone. I'm going away, and you just go be busy and faithful in my absence in here. And don't worry about when this thing. God, the Father will take care of the timing. You just go do what he's given you to do in the meantime. You just go be faithful. And so they do. Now you come over to chapter number 2, and we come to the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost, chapter 2, verse 1, was fully come. Now, when it says it was fully come, it's important to understand that statement has a very significant meaning. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, Pentecost was 50 days, excuse me, after the Passover. The Passover took place here 50 days, 40 and 10 later. You have the day of Pentecost. Now, when it says the day of Pentecost was fully come, there's really not any way for the 50th day to fully come until it comes. You understand, the day of Pentecost was the 50th day. 47 days wasn't Pentecost. 48, 49, that wasn't Pentecost. You don't get to Pentecost gradually. You bang, it's there. I mean, the 50th day is there. You don't almost, we're getting there. Here we are. It doesn't grow. When he says it's fully come, it's not the whole 50. It is that 50th. So when he says there, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, what that's saying is that when the true Pentecost arrived, when the fulfillment of the type showed up. Now think for a minute. Hold your hand here in Acts 2 and come to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Hold on to Acts 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even as Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, that was the fulfillment of the ceremony of the Passover. Go back with me to Leviticus chapter number 23. You need to understand the calendar of redemption in the nation Israel. Pentecost was a Jewish feast day. Now, maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you thought it was a day on the church calendar, but it comes out of the Scripture. And Pentecost, the day of Pentecost being fully come, that is this Jewish calendar that God had given to Israel through Moses. It had ceremonial days. It had holy days on it. One of them was Passover. Then the next big one was Pentecost. And when Pentecost was fully come, what he's saying is, look, the antitype, of Passover is the cross. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Now, the type back there in Leviticus was, first there was the Passover. And then after Passover, there's the Feast of Unleavened Bread and so forth. And then you come, the next big day is Pentecost. Then you run a period of time in here in which there's the planting and the harvest and so forth. And then you have the Feast of Trumpets. And Trumpets gathers the nation Israel. Then you have the Day of Atonement, which is when Israel has her sins forgiven. And then you have the Feast of Tabernacles. And all of those things, this is the calendar of Israel's redemption. Passover, Pentecost, Trumpets, Atonement, Tabernacles. Passover, the crucifixion of Christ. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Israel's program of redemption, her calendar of redemption, is underway. It is being fulfilled. When the day of Pentecost is fully come, that is another way of saying that just as the Passover has been fulfilled in Christ, now the feast day of Pentecost is being fulfilled in the coming of the Holy Spirit on the apostles here. Just like the Feast of Trumpets, the trumpets over here, will be fulfilled in the regathering of Israel, the Day of Atonement be fulfilled in the second coming of Christ, and the Feast of Tabernacles be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. All of that being Israel's redemption, by the way, is not over until you get here. You notice there's the Day of Atonement. There's the Passover. Did you ever notice that when God brought Israel out of Egypt in the Passover, that the blood of the Passover lamb delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage, from the religious tyranny of the gods of Egypt? But then Israel had to go out into the wilderness out there and where God took them 3 days out and offer sacrifices and burnt offerings for their sins. The Passover sanctified them, separated them out as a holy nation, and then they had their atonement. Israel's program is always that way. That's the reason Peter says in Acts 3, Christ, all the things the Scripture said Christ do, He suffered, He so fulfilled. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Right over here, and He'll send Jesus and set up the kingdom and so forth. Times of refreshing. That's the way Israel's calendar goes. Leviticus 23, verse number 15. You shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheave of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitation two wave loaves of two-tenth deals. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven. They shall be the first fruits unto the Lord. Notice carefully. Pentecost is a Jewish feast day. It is a part. It is another step in the calendar of Israel's redemption program. And it is designed to be a witness of the first fruits unto the Lord. The harvest is later. This is the first fruits. In the Bible, first fruits have to do with resurrection. Pentecost is a witness of the resurrection. And that's exactly what Acts chapter 1 said these people are going to be. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. They're going to be witnesses of the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. They are going to go out and bear witness to Israel that Jesus Christ is the resurrected, glorified Messiah. Come with me to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. Well, let's just begin in verse 1 and read down. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and the sound filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them, and by the way, the them here, if you check the pronoun all the way back to chapter 1, verse 2, it'll always be the apostles. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit of God is poured out and fills the apostles. There are 12 men on the day of Pentecost that speak in tongues. There are 12 men on the day of Pentecost that are filled with the Spirit of God, and they go out and witness and minister. And I don't care if you want to say the 120 were. It doesn't bother me if that's what you want to say. It's okay, because that's the little flock. That is the number of the circumcision believers at the time. Now, what they're speaking in tongues demonstrates they're being filled with the Spirit. What the Spirit's filling is a witness of is the resurrection of Christ. Come down to verse number 30. Therefore, being a prophet, Peter's preaching now, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, talking about David, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Now you tell me something. Why did Peter say Jesus Christ was resurrected? What did he say? He said he was resurrected to sit upon his, and that's David's, throne. God resurrected Christ, set him at his own right hand, so he could then send him back over here and sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem, reigning over the nation Israel. You see, Peter doesn't, he preaches the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but he sure doesn't preach it the way you and I preach it. He doesn't preach it the way Paul later preaches it. And we're going to see all that as we go through there. Now, verse 31. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, being resurrected and exalted to the Father's right hand, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. Peter explains what happened on Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to be the pledge and the proof to Israel that Jesus Christ had been resurrected and exalted to the position of both Lord and Christ. And there can't be any question about that. That's why he goes on and says, verse 34, For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou, God the Father says to God the Son, come up here and sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your foes your footstool, till I send you back to destroy your enemies and set up your kingdom, set on David's throne. Peter says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. Something you want to understand very clearly. What's going on in Acts 2? The kingdom over here. Israel's programs, what's in view. You can't miss that unless you wanted to. What's happening back here in Acts chapter number 2 is that kingdom program is still in view. That kingdom program is still the issue. Israel is still the channel of God's blessings. They're still the children of the covenants and the promises. And that prophetic program that extends all the way back to Adam back there is still what's going on. Now that's a lot different than what you have when you come to the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul tells us that God has interrupted the prophetic program, that Israel has fallen, and that now in here, Jesus Christ reached down and saved the Apostle Paul, and now you have a mystery program. This stuff back here is what the prophets prophesy. This is that which Joel spoke about. Joel didn't know anything about the dispensation of grace and the body of Christ where we are today. Paul's epistles in here, when you come into Paul's epistles, you don't find the kingdom being the issue. You find that the kingdom's been postponed. You don't find that God's establishing the nation Israel in the earth with a kingdom over it. You find that God has set Israel aside and now there's a spiritual body of believers. You don't find the promise and the hope and the issue to be the earth. You find the promise in here, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. Go back and read Deuteronomy 28 and see that Israel is blessed with earthly blessings. They're blessed with crops that don't fail. They're blessed with rain when they need it. They're blessed with protection from their enemies when they try to come against them. They have all kinds of tremendous physical blessings because they represent the God's purpose to establish the authority of Jesus Christ over this planet through the instrumentality of a kingdom given to Israel. But now, in here, you have something quite different. You have the dispensation of grace. You have the church, the body of Christ in view. And you have, rather than the physical earthly kingdom, now you have a spiritual heavenly body. He says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus today. Different kind of ministry altogether. Entirely different. And that's why, come with me if you will to Romans chapter 3. That's why, when you read Paul's epistles and you begin to understand what Paul talks about when he talks about the cross work of Christ, you find out that the cross, there are things about the cross that you couldn't understand before you came to Paul. For example, Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without the law. Back over here, the program is the law God gave Israel. And here, the program is grace. And folks, they're not anything any different in anywhere, any more different between the law and grace. Two different systems. Both good, both God ordained, both given by God, both created by God, but different. Mutually exclusive. Paul says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Now there is a new way. Once the righteousness of God was manifested back here, but now it's manifested in a new way. But now, in that ministry, you know what Paul says? Says that God would have all men to be saved, all men, not just Israel, all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for everybody, not just a ransom for Israel, ransom for everybody, for all. Wherefore I'm appointed a teacher and a preacher and an apostle of the Gentiles. You know why Paul was a preacher and a teacher and the apostle of the Gentiles? To be the due time testifier. of all that God has accomplished through the finished work of Jesus Christ, so that I could stand here on this program today and tell you that all you need to do to come to God, no matter who you are, no matter what your past has been like, no matter what your life is, no matter what your nationality, no matter what your religion, no matter who you are, big ones, little ones, in between ones, it don't make any difference. All you need to come to God is faith in God's Son who died for you at Calvary. And Romans chapter 4, verse 25, Paul says about Jesus Christ, who was delivered for our offenses. God Almighty delivered him up to Calvary, handed him over for your offenses, to pay for your sins. And he raised him again, not to sit on David's throne, not simply that, but he raised him for our justification. You know what that means? The Bible says the wage of sin is death. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and it wasn't possible that death should hold him. Why? If there was one sin that wasn't paid for, death would hold him. If there was one thing that you did that he didn't completely put away by his cross work, death would have held him. But because God counted his death as the complete and total sacrifice and payment for the penalty of your sin, God raised him again for our justice. He raised him again so he could declare you and me the righteousness of God in him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is like a receipt marked paid in full. Let me ask you, have you ever taken him? Have you ever trusted him? Have you ever received him as your Savior? Oh, don't trust religion. Don't trust yourself. And don't think you're going to get by if you ignore it. No, no. God loves you. Christ died for you. The book declares that if you'll trust what God says in his Word, he'll save you by his grace for his glory. Forgive your sins and give you his life simply by taking God at his Word. God looks down at your heart and wants to see your faith resting in his Son. Why don't you do that today, right now? Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, What Really Happened in Acts 2? It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 180. That's tape offer number 180. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His well-divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.